You take your Bibles and turn to Acts 20, verse 35. We're going to be looking at a number of passages this morning, but this is kind of going to be home base. Acts 20, verse 35. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Let's pray. Father, you have said that you look toward those who are humble and contrite and who tremble at your word. As we come to your word now, Lord, may that be us. Amen. So let me start by asking you a question. And I admit I might be setting you up a little bit here. Do you feel more joy when a check comes in or when a check goes out? What makes you happier, when you get money or you give it? Make a little comparison. How would you feel if you went to check the mail tomorrow morning and you found a surprise check in there for $1,000? Free and clear. That'd be pretty exciting. Buy myself a new guitar. How would that compare to right after receiving that check, someone asks you to meet a genuine need in the church that would cost $1,000. And you gulp a little bit, say goodbye to that guitar, and hand over the money. Which one would be more exciting? The getting or the giving? This saying of Jesus is actually one of the hard sayings of the Bible, isn't it? It is more blessed to give than to receive. And we got to face it head on. This blessing of giving, do you really believe that that is true? Does your life match that belief? This can be a bit of a hard teaching. So here's the real question. Do you really believe that there is more blessing in you giving $1,000 than there is in you receiving $1,000? That example that I gave you didn't actually use your hard-earned money at all, did it? It was free and clear. And we find that hard to give away. What if it was your own money that you had been saving up? Do you really believe what Jesus said is true, that it is more blessed to give than to receive? This statement of Jesus reveals a truth that we can find difficult, and it reveals what we really think about this issue. Today, we want to talk about giving. What does the Bible say about giving? But before we get into it, I want to set this up so that we are clear on what we are doing and what we are not doing this morning. Anytime you talk about money, people get weird, right? Maybe they think that the preacher is just trying to get into their wallet, or maybe put them into some sort of guilt trip or manipulate them into some kind of scam. Folks can get really touchy when it comes to conversations about how they handle their money. But here's the thing. The Bible isn't shy about getting all up in your business. The Bible doesn't speak in hints or riddles when it comes to what you do with your money. And that's because the Bible is the Word of God. And we are called to tremble before it. God is God. He is King. He is Lord. And you have no secrets with Him. He knows your heart. He knows your bank account. He knows everything about you. And He has claimed lordship over all of it. No secrets. He barges right into your life without apology, and he knows exactly what is going on. And so we must not tiptoe around the conversation. The Bible doesn't allow for it. We need to be brought into the full light of the Word have our hearts examined. To be a Christian is to be under the authority of the Word. To be a Christian is to be brought into the light. So what we are doing is looking to the Word of God to see what it says about giving, and then we will seek to apply that to our lives. That's it. That's what we want this morning. No coercion, no guilt trip. It's not a scam. We are Christian. We want obedience in our discipleship. We want to glorify God and please Him. We want to be faithful to our Lord in every part of our lives, and that includes this part. The Bible has a lot to say in this matter, and we just want the clear and unvarnished truth of the Scriptures to shape our hearts and our obedience to the Word. So let's do that. Here is some good pastoral counsel this morning. Don't get weird. Are we in agreement? All right. Now, the Bible teaches giving clearly and repeatedly, and I'm going to give you three principles of giving that come from the Word. Three principles that should govern how you handle this part of your Christian walk. And if you walk by these three principles, you will be doing well. So let's dive in and see what the Word has for us this morning. The first principle of giving that we need to keep in front of us is the principle of portion. The principle of portion. The Bible consistently teaches that we are to give a portion of what we earn. We are told to set aside a part of our earnings to give to the Lord's work. This is seen in a number of areas, but one we can look at is 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. Where Paul says, on the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up, as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. So can you see the principle that Paul is employing here? He has this principle in mind, and he's applying it into this particular situation. And he says, on the first day of every week, that is consistently a matter of routine. Matter of routine. And then he says, as he may prosper. That is, in keeping with what one has earned. A portion. The principle is that we are to have a regular pattern of giving that is connected to how much we have earned. There should be a correlation with the amount you give to the amount you earn. Now this, of course, is also seen in the Old Testament where the tithe was instructed. The same principle is in play there. God's people were instructed in regular giving of a measured portion. In their case, it was the tithe. We will often say 10%, although it's a little more complicated than that in the Old Testament. But nevertheless, in the New Testament, the principle is carried over, not of a strict tithe. Not of a strict tithe, although you could certainly do that if you want. But the principle of regular proportional giving. Because in reality, as we can breathe a sigh of relief that, oh, I don't have to bring a tithe, perhaps. In reality, God has commanded something much more difficult than a tithe, hasn't He? A tithe by law is relatively easy. I may or may not like it. That's a reasonable amount. I'm not too inconvenienced. I can kind of keep the lion's share for my own needs. And whether I worship or not is not really in question. This kind of forced giving is kind of like paying the bills, right? My bill comes in, I log into my bank account, and I punch in the correct number, and I pay the bill. It's done. There's no real love there. It's just a bill to pay. It's the cost of living. And a forced tithe quickly becomes just that. I'm just paying another bill. It eases my conscience. But that is not what God has for us. That is not the heart of giving. And it is not what giving has been designed to accomplish. Now, there's nothing wrong with giving 10%. You can certainly do that if you wish. But God has commanded something far more difficult and far deeper. He has not commanded 10%, He has commanded love. God is God of the heart, and He has commanded your heart to love. And out of that command comes this principle of regular and proportional giving. That's the order of things. And you feel how different that would be. We are not under law, we are under Christ. Guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit, keeping in step with Him, we are commanded to love God, to love our neighbor, and out of that love, out of our faith, we are to give. That's different. That's not paying the bills at all. That's worship, and that's the kind of giving we are after. We have been called to cultivate a heart of giving. Out of love and faith in God, and out of that heart, we put into practice regular and proportional giving, whatever that might mean for you in your particular situation. That's your business. Out of love and faith, we are to give a portion. And we will see what that means in a little more detail as we move forward. But for now, the first biblical principle of giving for a believer is that we are to give regularly in proportion to what we have earned. The amount of your income should be connected to the amount of your giving. Regular, proportional. And how you manage that is yours. That's principle number one. The second principle for biblical giving is sometimes sacrificially. This principle is seen in 2 Corinthians 8, 3-5. Paul says this: they gave according to their means. That's the principal portion again. They gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints, and this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. So we give regularly and proportionally, and sometimes we give above and beyond. We give sacrificially, where what we had planned to keep for our day-to-day lives, we instead give in order to meet some pressing need. That's what they're doing here. Paul says they gave beyond their means. This was sacrificial. This was above and beyond. He says according to their means, a regular portion, and then he goes beyond their means. That was deeper, more sacrificial, that cost them more. And that means that because of their gift, they would have to do without, perhaps in some area of their life, maybe no vacation this year. Maybe more bread and water and less steak and potatoes, maybe secondhand and not new, whatever. They gave more than was comfortable. It affected them beyond their means, he says. That is sacrificial giving, and there are times when we are called to do that. But think again at the heart behind all of this. There is no coercion here. Regular, proportional, sometimes sacrificial. We have these principles, but there's something underlying all of this that fuels it. What was their attitude toward giving more than they could afford? He says they were begging to give their money away. Begging to struggle a little bit financially so that others could take it. Please, take it. I'll figure it out. Listen, do me a favor and take my money. The only coercion going on here is from the side of the giver. Ever think of that? No one's forcing them. There's no guilt trip. They are eager to give. Have you ever given like that? You ever given like that? Sacrificially to the point of hurting. Please take my money. I'll figure it out. I'll figure it out. It's mac and cheese month, and you take the rest of the money. Now, there is a challenge. How little we understand sometimes this kind of giving, how little we understand Jesus' words when he says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. In this situation, someone was after a blessing, and they wanted it more than the money that they had. There is a deep love and a faith that is fueling this, a deep love for others, a deep love for God in this kind of giving, and a deep trust in God. Not bound by the things of this world or the fear of what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear. In prayer time last week, Pastor Cam talked about exactly this. And he showed us that the Bible doesn't teach a blind trust in God. God hasn't left us in the dark. He has given us promises, sure promises, to care for us, provide for us, to bless us as we give so that we can give in confidence and in joy. It's not a blind trust at all. God's word provides a foundation for us so that we have joy. So we don't cringe as we give sacrificially, as we know that we might have to do without a little bit. It's not a cause of cringing, it's a cause of joy. Why? Because the promises of God are true, and they're true for me. He is my God. Then with eyes wide open toward the promises of God, we can be eager to give, even beg for that opportunity. Because the word of God is sure, and he has promised. He has promised blessing. It's not a blind faith at all. God gives us reasons, motivations, encouragements, promises, provision. And this is what they understood in this passage. See what it says? They gave themselves first to God and then to others. It wasn't coerced from anybody at all. Front of the line was the Lord. Nobody was twisting their arm. It wasn't a cringing or reluctant kind of giving. Their eyes were on God first, trusting him, honoring him, giving themselves as living sacrifices to the living God. And out of that, they were eager to meet the needs of someone else. And here we see it again, this heart of giving. God commands the heart. God commands the heart. He is Lord of the heart. And we are to love him. We are to trust him to care for us. He has promised to, and so do we. Oh, when your heart has been won fully for God, it is free from worry. It is free from worry. There's worship there, and it can give with willingness and joy and eagerness, confident that God is with me and he will help me. So I don't have to give reluctantly or regretfully or miserly. It's not forced upon them. You give what you have decided. That should be our focus, to cultivate that heart, one that is fully committed to God, given first to God, trusting in his promises to care, which leads then to a genuine biblical giving, a generosity. Now, one note on this sacrificial giving. It is to be done with wisdom. This is not a careless throwing away of all of your money and foolishly getting rid of it all. There is no sense in giving everything away so that now that you have to depend on someone else. That's not sacrificial. That would be foolish. Paul mentions this elsewhere where he says, "For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have." That's the principal portion in play for the third time. "Not according to what he does not have. I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness." So we give with wisdom. not to the point of simply becoming the next needy one. With joy, I give everything away, and then I turn to the next person and say, hey, I'm a little short. Can you give me money? That's not wisdom. But out of our abundance and our ability, we give. Sometimes painfully and sacrificially, out of heart of love for God, trust in His Word, and love for others. We are willing to struggle so that others can thrive. First principle is that we are to give regularly and proportionally. Second principle is that sometimes we give sacrificially. Third principle, we are to always give cheerfully. We are to always give cheerfully. We see this in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 8. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. There are those reasons again that God gives. He will bless you. And at all times, having all that you need, you abound in every good work. So here we see why God doesn't just command a certain amount of money and be done with it. You owe 10%, give 10% and we're done. We see why He doesn't force you to give a particular number, a box to check. It is because He is Lord of the hearts. And He wants willing and cheerful hearts when it comes to His people and how they give. We are to give cheerfully. Cheerfully. Whether that's in our regular and proportional giving or whether it's in a time of deep sacrificial giving, we are to do it cheerfully, not under compulsion. God loves a cheerful giver. Don't let anyone twist your arm. We must not begrudge our giving, grumble about it, nor are we to brag about it. This again emphasizes the heart of giving, the motivation. It is to be a heart that has given itself to God first, has placed its trust in Him, not in the things of this world, but in the living Lord. And then it shows itself in love of neighbor. It shows itself in freedom from the love of money. This is the motivation, and you can see it in the cheerfulness or the lack thereof in how you give. And this cheerfulness, as we said, is rooted in a deep trust in God. It's not just floating out there. You don't have to muster up this cheerfulness like, oh, I'm not cheerful, I don't know how to get it. You get it from the Word. You get it from the promises of God by meditating on His Word and not on the dollars and cents. A trust in the promises of God. What did we just read? God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. That's amazing. All things, all times, all that you need, abounding in every good work. God has promised to meet our needs, and He has said that there is blessing attached to our faithful giving. Consider then some cheerful promises that God has made. Proverbs 19:17. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and He will repay him for his deed. How about that? Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Matthew 10:42, And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, truly I tell you, he will never lose his reward. These are wonderful promises. You could scour through the Word and find promise after promise. The question continues to be, as it always is, do we believe them? Do we actually want the blessings of God in this matter? This is where our cheerfulness should be coming from, the sure word of God. God has given us these promises as motivation. You ever think of that? He's motivating you. And he's motivating you with the thought of reward. Reward is a good biblical motivation. He's encouraging us. He says, look, I will reward you. I will care for you. I will provide for you. I will give you eternal blessing for your faithful giving. He's giving us motivation. And when you come to believe that, cheerfulness is not far away. It's right around the corner. You will find it, or it will find you. We can lay up treasures in heaven, but sometimes we prefer treasures on earth, don't we? Heaven's a bit of a distant concept. But through our giving, we can reap an eternal reward. Isn't that remarkable? God has made a way that we can, this isn't quite the way to say it, but that we can buy heavenly reward with physical money, right? We lay up treasures in heaven. We give financially, and he says, I'm going to bless you eternally. We give with something that we can't even keep anyway. And in return, he gives us something that there's no way we could ever earn. That should cause cheer in our giving. Cultivating the right heart before we ever get to writing a check or whatever. We cultivate our love for God. We cultivate a love for neighbor. And we cultivate a deeper trust in God's word as we seek to give according to these principles. It really is, as Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. But you will not understand this if all you think of is in terms of dollars and cents, which will make giving just paying another bill and not worship. It's good to be reminded that there is nothing that you have not received. Nothing. It's all from the grace of God. By his hand that you have what you have. It's all a gift. Your very life is a gift. We are all benefactors of the grace of God, and what he has given to you is what you are responsible to manage and steward for his glory, not what he hasn't. You don't steward what you don't have, you steward what you do. The gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Whether God has given you one talent or two or five, whatever the case, you are to manage your finances for the glory of God without comparison to anybody else. And thankfully, God has not left us to figure this out on our own. He has given us instruction on how to do it, on how to do it well, how to please him. Regular and proportional. Sometimes sacrificial, always cheerful. Follow those principles and you will be doing well. Or to make it even simpler, let's just boil that down just one step further. To make it even simpler, those three principles could be summed up simply with one word: generous. Generous. Romans 12:8. To the one who gives, let him give generously. Now, the generous person is going to do all three of those things, won't he? The generous person will be a regular giver. Well, because he's generous. That's kind of what he does. He'll be a regular giver. He will be willing to sacrifice because he's generous. And it's going to be a joy to do so. Generosity implies all of those things. And we are called to be generous. Are we generous givers? Do we believe in the promises of God? Do we believe Jesus' statement that is more blessed to give than to receive? Do we believe in his promises to care for us? These are good questions. So here's a good question to ask yourself as you reflect on this week. When God looks at you and how you handle your finances, will he say, "Yes, that is what I meant when I gave it to you and told you to be generous with it"? Well done. That's a good question. Because that is what we desire, that heart of giving. As disciples of Christ, we want to do all things for the glory of God, and that includes how we handle our money. And we shouldn't shy away from this. We shouldn't shy away from examination. There's no need to get weird about this conversation. God is Lord. So examine yourselves and see how you're doing. Are you generous? That should be our goal. That is a good goal. It's a good thing to strive for, not out of coercion. Don't give out of guilt. Give out of love and trust in God. The heart of giving is a God-honoring generosity. That's a good take-home. The heart of giving is a God-honoring generosity. That's what we want to cultivate in our hearts and in our discipleship, our obedience. May we be a people who love to give, who are cheerful and generous in our giving. May we be a people who don't take offense when the Word of God shines its light into our hearts and into our bank accounts. May that not offend us at all. May we say, "Welcome, Lord. Come and examine me and see." It is good to step into the light. It is good to be examined. And it is good to know that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And amen. If you struggle with that, if you doubt the generosity of God for the future in supplying for you, look to the past generosity of God and be encouraged. Here we have come to the table. Consider now the generosity of God. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Take comfort in the promises of God. Take comfort in what he has done for you on the cross. In Christ, you will have all that you ever will need to walk in righteousness all of your days. God's love for you is the same love that he has for his son. He will take care of you, it is sure. When you doubt God's care for you, when you doubt his promises, when you wonder if it counts for you, and you face your fears and your difficulties, remember the cross. Remember what he did for you. Remember his past generosity. Oh, it is sure. It is sure. The song that we sang, "My salvation was sure," when he prayed, "Father, not my will, but thine be done." Oh, what a moment. That was set. That was set. And as he gave his life for us, we can be certain that he's going to complete his work in us. There is nothing that you will lack. His blessing is sure. It is eternal. And in that we take great, great comfort and great, great joy. I'd like to ask the brothers to come who are helping.